We'll just get started.
Okay, we'll get started. I'd like to call the meeting to order and recognize the secretary to call the roll.
Good. Chair Evans?
Here.
Vice Chair Harley?
Here.
Vice Chair Corcoran?
Here.
Director McMillan?
Here.
Director Price?
Here.
Director Goldman?
Present.
Director Hutchins?
Here.
Director Horner?
Here.
Alternate Bulger?
Here.
Alternate Augustine?
Present.
Alternate Dorsey?
Observant.
Alternate Lovey?
Here.
Alternate Meridian?
Here.
Alternate Porter?
Here.
Alternate Smedberg?
Here.
And alternate Costa?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. All right, first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Second?
Second.
Any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for March 22nd, 2018 board meeting, March 22nd, 2018 executive session, April 12th, 2018 executive session. So I'd like to move the approval of the minutes. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is to welcome our children who are in our audience for the Bring Your Child to Work Day. So I'd like to welcome all the children. Today is Take Your Child to Work Day, and the Metro Board would like to welcome all the children who have joined us today. I'm pleased that Metro participates in this national program to encourage and motivate young people through meaningful workplace experiences. We certainly hope coming to Metro with your parents today will inspire you to consider a very rewarding career in public transportation. So again, you're all welcome, and I'd like to ask our General Manager, Paul Wiedefeld, for any comments as well.
Sure. I just want to welcome you as well, and I'm glad that you're here to see what your parents do every day. We have 25 students here at JGB and another 25 students at the Carmen Turner facility today. Hopefully one of the things you'll learn today is about the wide range of things we do here. We have everything from accountants here to engineers to IT people, computer people. We have our own police force, and obviously we have thousands of bus operators and mechanics and rail operators and mechanics to make the system run every day. But most importantly, what I hope you learn is the pride that your parents take every day and the commitment they bring to the job, as they serve almost a million passengers a day that rely on them. So they do a fantastic job, so we're so glad you're here. If you could come up to the front, we'd love to get a photo with you.
All right, guys, come on up. And while they're coming up, let's give our children a big round of applause.
Yeah, I thought they were watching.
So
opposed to this petition.
All righty. Okay, our next item on the agenda is the employee spotlight. Mr. Wiedefeld.
Okay, Ms. Harris, this month our employee spotlights, we recognize Metrobus operator Alexis Harris. If she could stand, Ms. Harris. She's shy. For her calm and steady actions when a dangerous situation occurred on her bus. Not only did she usher her passengers to safety, but she helped law enforcement quickly detain the suspect. This occurred on the evening of April 11th at approximately 6 p.m. when the operator Harris was driving the F4 route in New Carrollton. After servicing a bus stop, she heard a commotion at the rear of the bus. A rider had pulled a knife and attempted to steal a cell phone from another passenger. Ms. Harris pulled over safely, secure the bus, and immediately notified Bus Operations Control Center to request assistance from law enforcement. While continuing to brandish the knife, the suspect approached the front of the bus and yelled for everyone to get off the bus. Acting quickly and calmly, Ms. Harris safely ushered the customers off the bus. Once the bus was vacant, the suspect hopped into the driver's seat, pressed controls and pedals, and attempted to drive away. However, the bus is equipped with a security feature that prevents unauthorized operation. The suspect did not know this and continued to try to move the bus. Ms. Harris spotted a Prince George's County police vehicle and quickly flagged down the officers who approached the scene and apprehended the suspect. This was truly a frightening and dangerous situation, but Operator Harris maintained her composure, avoided an accident, and kept her customers safe during the whole ordeal. We appreciate her heroic actions and the courage she displayed while protecting the customers. Operator Harris, please come up and get a reward. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is our public comment. We have one person signed up, Janice Vieira. Ms. Vieira?
There is.
Michael, you missed the sign up. So, Ms. Vieira, welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning. My name is Janice Vieira, president of JLoS International. I was here in February testifying in front of the board about small businesses not having the opportunity, small businesses that are in the District of Columbia. And a month later, I got a call from WMATA. I was excited, really, to talk about what small businesses, how we can contribute to meeting the diversity goals of WMATA. But instead, the call was from your IT office, so it quickly turned into disappointment when I found out that the IT office really wasn't interested in small businesses' participation, but businesses that are not legitimate businesses in the District of Columbia. That I won't be able to tell. I know that I'm a legitimate business. I've been operating for the last 23 years, since 1995, in D.C., and it's a qualified business. We've done work for several agencies within the district, including WMATA. And very quickly, I would just like to ask the board to consider having a committee of small businesses who can then help WMATA to reach their diversity goals. And I'd be more than happy to volunteer to lead that effort. So that is my ask from you. I would like your commitment on that, so that there would not be any more, you know, articles on WMATA not meeting its goals. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment. Our next item on the agenda is the report of the Accessory Advisory Committee. Mr. Posner.
I've got reasonable accommodation by law. That's what the law requires. You're a lawyer. You ought to know that.
Welcome, Mr. Posner.
Good morning. It's good to be back. Every time I come in, there's new board members. I'm having a moment to thank
Ms. Harley, who was rotated off the board, we're going to miss her. She's been a really good supporter for the accessibility community. So thank you very much, and I look forward to that later in the year. What we have been doing is a number of our committee members travel a lot, which primarily commute up to New York and come back with suggestions based upon what they've seen. In the past, we have collaborated with the people at BART in San Francisco who have asked us about our 7000 series cars and talked to them. And so we have put together a group in the committee to work about contacting the other accessibility community members that advise our peer institutions. In New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Chicago, and have some feedback on a regular basis so we can give them advice based upon our advances, and they can give us some advice on what they do. So hopefully the board will be happy with that when we move forward on that issue. The other thing that we have been working on is the 7,000 car between car barriers. And the lab has been active in giving us information on that. We've been getting feedback from the different systems and hoping that we're going to move forward at a really rapid rate. We know it's a lot of work. It's not as easy as just taking a clamshell off and putting the chains on, but we're hoping that will happen quickly. It's particularly a problem for our vision challenge visuals in the system. The other thing that has happened with 7,000 cars, when we initially put in our suggestions, one of the questions we had was changing the carpeting over to the current paneling. And we were assured that there would be a high level of grip and friction coefficient, so it would be a safe situation. And I applauded that because I've been involved in that in several of the laboratories that I've designed in my academic years. What has been happening over the last months, we've had a number of customer comments about the slipperiness of the new 7000 series cars, including members of our committee. I've been doing a one-man survey of the cars. Every time I come on, I move my feet back and forth. And there are a certain number of them that are incredibly slippery, even when it's not raining. And the thought we had is possibly the grip coefficient is being reduced by use. And one of the suggestions that the committee has made is that when the cars are getting ready to put into service, I know all the mechanical items are looked at, all the safety items are looked at, it'd be nice if the grip coefficient could be measured. In those cars that have become slippery, that there is some repair done to the floors. I know every quarter when you get your report on accidents, slips and falls are number one. And so it would be nice if we could get that followed up on. The other question we had was on the elevator default settings. We had requested several meetings ago through the winter to see if the mezzanine to street settings could be changed so the default was the street rather than the mezzanine. And we've gone through the winter, it's been pretty cold, and it hasn't happened yet. And so, you know, we'd like to get some sort of an update as to why. I'm sure there's some reason that we're defaulting to the mezzanine rather than the seat. But it would be nice to know during the summer storms as well as the winter storms. We also had a good meeting with the lighting group, who are continuing to do a great job on lighting at L'Enfant Plaza and at Gallery Place. And what I'd like to do is turn the microphone over to Denise Rush, who is my first vice chair on the committee and also the vice chair of the Metro Access Committee, so she can talk to you about Metro Access, because she knows more about Metro Access than I think anybody here.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Rush, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to thank the... First, this is the first time I heard the role, so I know who I am addressing in the meeting, and I appreciate that from a visually impaired person that I know who I'm addressing. So thank you for that. We put new buses on the street last July, about near the middle of the month, and it's almost July again, and no improvements have been made to the buses that are on the street now. We know that we have ordered some additional buses, and we've asked for some changes. We are concerned that nothing has been done with the buses that are already in operation, and we would like to know when we're going to get a change, and when, with the new buses, are the modifications that we have requested and suggested for improvement are going to be met. We did see the buses last month, and we got on, and again, we say you can only put on one wheelchair at a time. We said this in the beginning. It was stated that two of them, the wheelchairs could be put on, but they cannot. Only one can be put on at a time. If the person has a seat, personal care attendant, the wheelchair, and then another customer, and that's it. We also sat in the back seat of the new buses, and they're just for children, not a grown person leg. They have to be very, very short, can sit in the back seat. That is a concern. I personally was put on the bus with a wheelchair and was terrified. The suspension, getting wheelchair on the bus, we only had 5 minutes for the driver to pull off, make contact and pull off. Well, that's not going to happen in 5 minutes with the new buses. So that is a concern. The accessible ride program is moving along, but they have expanded some of the opportunities, and it's a new trial system that they're using, but it's not has not been advertised to every Metro Access customer in Maryland, and so that is a concern to some of the customers. They were not notified, and we're not quite sure. We're understanding that the program is just a test, but everyone should be notified. Also, the deadheading of the abilities ride with the cabs. For someone in Montgomery County and they want to go to PG County, they can be picked up, but the Montgomery County vehicle comes back empty. So some way we're going to have to do better, because there's no way that with the price of gas that anybody's going to continue to do that. So PG County people, you know, not going to get picked up because it's not worth it. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, Michael. Sure, can I have a question? Yes, a question for just the report. This is Mike Goldman, question for you. This subject of Metro Access was a topic of a hearing before the Montgomery County Transportation Environment Committee yesterday that member Porter and I participated in, and one of the issues was how to get the word out to members of the disabled community about the pilot program Abilities Ride. And so I was wondering what your suggestions would be. Is email the way to do that, or is some other way to do that to get the word out to potential riders that the Ability Ride program is available for them now?
I think the way they normally do is to put it on the call-in as part of the phone. And that's the easiest way to do it, plus send out accessible messages. And they have a list of the type of accessible messages that the customers for Metro Access can use in that county. The other thing is to educate the dispatchers, because we have had some problems with the actual taxi cab dispatchers that Mr. Blake is working with, that we've had people call up to take advantage of the program, and then dispatchers do deny that exists. And those have been small instances of the new program, but the easiest way to notify customers is the way they typically notify everybody, which is with the accessible mail out, plus putting it on the
call in this
way.
I think those are very good suggestions. I hope the general manager will pass that on, so the information about the program will be known to the community in Montgomery and Prince George's County. Thank you.
Super, thank you. Also, about the vans, some of those things just can't be fixed on the new ones. But what can be done is, in the ordering, they can, and they have made it a policy not to put two wheelchairs on any of the new vans at any one time. The problem is it meets ADA standards, that when you put two chairs on side by side, there's no way the driver can get back there to tie them down. So what Metro Access Group is doing is they will not schedule two wheelchairs on one of the new vans at any one time. The other thing that has happened is they have modified the front side seat so there's lots of legroom. I can get on there and it's very comfortable. Back side seat cannot be modified any more than it is. And so, again, they will have to take into account that that seat only be used by a younger, smaller person. The back seat, because of the way the van was manufactured, with a very weak flooring in the new uni frame model that they used, they can't use the current backseat fix on some of the vans. On the newer ones that are coming in as the second part of the order, Ford has made the adjustment so that can be fixed. And so they're working on that. So I don't want you to have all bad news, that what's being done is the best that can be done. But some of those vans were basically limited as far as use by Metro Access. So I've talked too much, and I'll let the next person move on. Thank you.
Okay, hold on. Is there any more questions by anybody? Any other comments? Okay, thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is a report by the Riders Advisory Council, Mr. Khartoum. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you. My report will not be nearly as thorough. The RAC is largely in a holding pattern right now as we are undergoing this operational review, which is lasting a little longer than we had hoped initially, but so be it. At our last meeting on April 4th, Christian Dorsey came to speak to us, and we certainly appreciate that, given that he is one of the leaders in at least coordinating about this operational review. Summarizing a lot of the changes that were being proposed, the RAC is in agreement on most of them with regard to committees, public participation requirements, size, and work plans for the committee. It seems like the sticking points are probably going to be communication and resources, figuring out how to formalize those and exactly how many resources can be devoted to the RAC. We knew those were going to be the sticking points. We also had a presentation from Shelley, and I'm probably going to pronounce her last name incorrectly, so I will spell it, X-I-E, who is the Director of Rail Operation Scheduling. She came to talk to us about the red line turnbacks or the potential changes that are coming on the east, on the western side of the red line. There appeared to be a pretty clear Goldilocks option for the red line turnbacks, not a full restoration of service all the way up to Shady Grove and not a complete status quo, but a mid-level range where she definitely indicated that that was the direction that things were probably going to be going. So the RAC thought that seemed reasonable given the choices. It was pretty clear that was the option that was going to be left. So our next meeting is next week, and we, as has been the case for the past couple of months, I look forward to getting a little more clarity about what our future is and how we continue to be helpful to everybody at this table and everybody in the region.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Khartoum? Questions, comments? Okay. Thank you very much for your report. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the report of the chair. Essentially, good news is on the dedicated funding, we continue to move forward on all fronts. Since our last meeting, the district council passed and the mayor signed our commitment from the District of Columbia to the dedicated funding. Virginia completed its session, again reaffirming its commitment to dedicated funding, and yesterday the governor of Maryland signed the bill in Maryland, completing their commitment to the dedicated funding. There's still a lot of work to be done to coordinate all the efforts, but it appears we will be moving forward, and it's a great great, again, as I said last meeting, it's a great achievement for this region to come together and to put in place dedicated funding for Metro. And I want to take an opportunity on behalf of myself, all the board, first of all, to thank the board members for all of your help in doing this, the three leaders in our region, the mayor and the two governors for their efforts, and all the elected officials in the region who participated and helped, and the business community and others who also participated. So it was a real enormous effort and a very successful one, and I think the region looks very good for having made this accomplishment. So that's my report. Move on to the next item is a report by the general manager, Mr. Weifel.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll give an update on safety, service liability, and fiscal management. In terms of safety, you may have seen in the media that the Metro Rail Safety Commission has appointed their CEO, Mr. David Mayer. I've reached out to Mr. Mayer just to reaffirm our commitment, obviously, to safety, and to look forward to working with him in partnership. We had a very good conversation. I've known him a little bit in the past, so it's good. It's a good relationship. He's no stranger to the Washington region. He worked at the NTSB for a number of years and was a daily user of our system before moving to New York. He's also no stranger to our chief safety officer, Pat Lavin, who worked with him up in New York MTA, as well as Joe Leader. So a lot of those issues, communication and things like that, will go off running very quickly. So we look forward to working with him. He comes on board June 4th, and as we all know, it's very important that body be set up, stood up, and certified by April of next year. In terms of service reliability, under the Back to Good program, we've achieved a steady improvement on our overall rail car performance. This has been the result of retiring some of our oldest vehicles and the worst performing vehicles, obviously the new 7000 series, and then also conducting targeted maintenance campaigns for the rest of the fleet. So last month, our rail cars on average traveled more than 113,000 miles before an incident occurred that delayed passenger travel. We call this measure, you may recall, the mean distance between delay. The reason this is important is this was the second best month for rail car performance since we started tracking this data 11 years ago, and it is 90% increase over the fleet performance just 2 years ago. So that is very good news for our riders that we continue to improve in that area. Another area important to our customers is the escalators. We've also been making good progress there in terms of replacement and rehabilitation. The Metro escalators in service now at 94% of the time. Preventive maintenance is obviously the key to that, but also the new escalators. And we have now completed more than two-thirds of our $150 million initiative to replace 130 escalators by the end of this decade. In the past year, we've replaced escalators on every line in the system. In terms of customer satisfaction, as we have repeatedly stated, we will know customer satisfaction when the customers tell us. That's how we really measure that. And so there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm pleased to report that our Metrorail customer satisfaction scores have ticked up for the first 3 months of 2018 compared with the same period last year. In the first quarter of this year, the customer satisfaction score for rail reached 76%, up from 69% this time last year. And on Metro bus side, our customer satisfaction score remains relatively steady compared to last year at 75%. So all, again, things pointing in the right direction. On the financial front, a few pieces of information there I want to share with you. As you recall, this board established, we've recently established the first ever OPEB trust this month, putting $3 million down payment on this previously unfunded liability. As directed by the board, we're using the savings achieved through reductions in absenteeism, workers' compensation, and overtime costs to fund the trust. As we continue to manage the costs, these costs, and are able to achieve the savings targets that we have for 19, we anticipate $10 million contribution to the trust fund in 19. I did want to bring to your attention another milestone that we reached recently. Earlier this month, Metro completed the drawdown of the $281 million of Federal Transit Administration legacy grant funds that we had previously been at risk of losing. With this drawdown completed, we have closed out the outstanding grants that were part of the FTA's 2014 Financial Management Oversight, the FMO review that you're all familiar with. So this is, again, another great milestone, and I really want to wanted to thank Dennis and Asiki. I think he's here and his entire team. They've done a fantastic job in getting that in order. And then finally, on the dedicated funding, yesterday I did have the privilege to attend the bill signing to establish the dedicated funding source for Metro in Maryland with Governor Hogan, Senator President Miller, and Speaker of the House Bush. And then, as the chairman just mentioned 2 weeks earlier, I had the same pleasure with the mayor and Chairman Evans, and we're looking forward to the Virginia signing shortly. But these are huge milestones that basically could not have been achieved without this board and your support, obviously the support of many others in the community, the Metro Now Coalition, the Metro staff, and really the community as a whole. So I think this is an historic moment. Clearly a historic moment. We have a lot of work to do now, and the entire team is ready for it, and I think the entire region is ready for it. So, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Riederfeld. Any questions for the general manager? No? Anybody? Okay, thank you. All right, next item on the agenda is a report by the Capital and Strategic Planning Committee. Mr. Corcoran.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff sought the committee's approval to update Metro's joint development policies, which were last updated in 2013. This update includes streamlined board approvals, flexibility for the use of revenues from joint development, and new policies on asset management, guidance for replacement transit facilities, and the inclusion of public policy goals. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval to include the following changes as well. Number one, remove the words and guidelines from the first resolve clause. Two, insert an additional resolve clause that reads as follows. Resolve that all future revenue from existing and new joint development projects be shown as a separate line item in both the annual operating and capital budgets of the authority in order to promote transparency. And be it finally. And third, revise section 1.12 of the proposed joint development policies to read as follows. WMATA requires transportation demand management plans as an element of the selected developer's joint development project with the goals of encouraging residents and employees tenanting joint development projects to ride transit, bicycle, and walk. Joint development projects must meet at a minimum TDM requirements of the jurisdiction in which the joint development project is implemented. TDM plans may include the use of real-time transit screens and other transit information centers, commuter benefit programs, parking management strategies, additional transit investments, and/or the provision of bicycle parking. So I forward that motion.
Okay, a motion's been made. Is there a second? Somebody second it?
Second.
Is there any discussion of the motion by Mr. Corcoran? Okay, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Corcoran?
Staff also.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Corbett and Kathy, can you both vote yes?
Kathy, aye.
Corbett, aye.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, staff also sought the committee's approval of proposed transit-oriented development objectives for areas in proximity to Metro Station, Metro Rail Stations, and major bus corridors. These objectives are Metro's guidance to local jurisdictions, local planners, developers, and internal staff on the land use policies and infrastructure investments that most support transit ridership. These specific objectives also provide clarity to Metro board members and staff as they advocate for transit-oriented development. I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, a motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Kathy Corbett.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? The ayes have it.
And that concludes my report, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Report by the Finance and Budget Committee, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following three items referred to the board at the April 12 Finance and Budget Committee meeting. First, university pass. Staff sought committee authorization to establish the university pass program for the university. Based on committee discussions and direction at that meeting, I would like to move approval of a revised resolution that makes the following four changes. First, it sets a $1 per day enrolled student floor for the cost of the UPass. Second, it explicitly authorizes the general manager CEO for his designee to negotiate and execute agreements with universities. Third, it requires board approval of material changes to the program structure. Finally, fourth, it requires an annual report to the board on the performance of the new programs. Determining that these changes are approved. Resolution.
Okay, a motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Kathy
aye.
Corbett?
Aye.
Kathy?
Aye.
Okay, is there a figure? Aye. Opposed? Seeing none, all the motion passes. Mr. Goldman.
The second item is the District of Columbia School Transit Subsidy, which is the program. Staff sought committee authorization to modify the kids' ride free program, improve program management and utilization. This action authorized the general manager and CEO to make changes to certain terms. The program requires yearly updates to the board on the status of the program, particularly with respect to efforts to curb air evasion. Mr. Chairman,
motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Kathy Corbett?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Goldman?
Finally, of great interest, Mr. Our friends from Virginia, we have the Potomac Guard reimbursable project budget amendments. They have selected the approval to increase the reimbursable budget for our education project, authorize the manager CEO to negotiate funding agreements with the city of Alexandria and to amend the capital improvement program to include this project.
Okay, motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion?
Second.
Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, our next item. Thank you, Mr. Goldman. Our next item on the agenda is the, I'd like to now commend one of our colleagues from Maryland, Keturah Harley. And she's stepping down from the Metro Board. And Keturah, it's been a pleasure working with you on behalf of all the Metro's riders throughout the region and especially those who live in Maryland. On behalf of the board, I would like to move the following commendation to express our appreciation for your service. Whereas Keturah Harley has faithfully represented the state of Maryland on the Metro Board of Directors since March of 2015, and whereas Ms. Harley served on the board's Audits and Investigations Committee, its Administration Committee, and its Governance Committee, as well as serving on the Executive Committee as the board's first vice chair. And whereas during her tenure on these committees, Ms. Harley advocated for increased transparency regarding the board's actions, as well as for the board to exercise strong and consistent oversight of Metro's internal business operations. And whereas Ms. Harley has served as the board's Safety and Service Delivery Committee vice chair since November of 2017. And whereas as Safety and Service Committee vice chair, Ms. Harley helped to maintain the board's focus on safety and its role in providing ultimate oversight of Metro's safety performance. And whereas Ms. Harley ensured that Metro was an accountable partner to the jurisdictions that it serves. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Keturah Harley for her service and leadership as a member of the WMATA Board of Directors. And be it further resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors commends Keturah Harley for her dedication to providing the best service for WMATA customers. So I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you for your service, Keturah. Thank you. This is our custom. If you'd like to have any comments, please, this is your time.
I'll go be short and sweet. I don't. just wanted to thank all my colleagues. It's been an interesting and exciting time working with you all. We started with many of you 3 years ago. We've had some interesting discussions, some challenging problems, and it's been my honor and privilege to serve by your side to assist in making Metro better. I think that's why I started here, and I feel like I'm leaving the board in very good hands. Most of my experience here has really given me a better insight on how passionate people are about Metro, and there are a lot of people that care about this organization, both on the board. It's been an honor to enable Mr. Wiedefeld to take the helm. His leadership team that he's brought on and the existing staff members here all have a desire to see Metro do better. And thanks to all of your hard work, we're definitely on our path to success. So thank you so much. It's been an honor serving with you.
Okay, next we'd like to welcome Mr. Clarence Crawford to
Mr.
the Metro.
Chairman.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Can I just
do you have a comment? Yes, please. I should have asked if anybody had
sure.
any comment.
Sure, and I do. I just wanted to say that I just wanted to thank Katora for her service to the state of Maryland, to the people of Prince George's County. You've just been a quiet leader here on this board. You've been here the entire time that I've been here. I've appreciated your counsel and what you've brought to this board, and I will absolutely miss you on this board and your leadership that you've provided. So thank you so much for your service.
Further comments?
I would just like to second what Mr. Augustine said, not only for the state of Maryland, but for Montgomery County as well. You've been a tremendous help to me on issues that, while some on this board might consider parochial, are very important to Montgomery, Prince George's County, and the state of Maryland, the Purple Line, and the ending of the Grosvenor turnbacks, and for your support on those efforts. I'm deeply appreciative. I think your 3 years have been a very unusual period of time, but I tend to agree with you that I think you're going out on a high note, so to speak, and you will probably look at us a year from now and say, they have some interesting problems that they're dealing with now. So good luck to you in your future activities, and thank you again for your efforts and your help. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And just let me say this, too, and you've been terrific to work with. We came on the board at the same time, and I really appreciate all your efforts. And for all of us here, the 16 of us who are sitting here before we swear in our new board member, you know, there are moments in history. History usually flows along, but there are moments in history when something occurs that is extraordinary. And the dedicated funding is one of those moments for Metro. And so for the 16 of us who are sitting here, for whatever it's worth in the future, we were here when it happened. We were here and made it happen. So I think it's a memory we can all take with us. The 16 of us will always share that bond for whatever it is, that we were here in an extraordinary moment in Metro's history that may not come again. So thank you all, and thank you for all of your efforts in that behalf. Okay, next we'd like to welcome Mr. Clarence Crawford to the Metro Board, who has been nominated to fill Ms. Harley's vacancy as a principal director from Maryland. Clarence is currently Senior Vice President for Corporate Solutions for the Addex Corporation, where he helps his clients develop and execute transformative strategies in the federal environment. Clarence is also the founder and president of the Teach 'em to Fish Community Development Corporation that helps transform disadvantaged people into entrepreneurs. Clarence is also an adjunct professor at the American University's Master of Public Administration program, where he teaches federal budgeting, ethical leadership, and enterprise risk management. Clarence is a meritorious presidential rank award recipient. He earned his MPA in finance and Bachelor of Science in Administration of Justice from the American University, and he has taken classes at the Capitol Bible Seminary. We are looking forward to having his leadership, financial, and policy expertise on the board. I would ask Clarence to join me so I may formally swear him in to his new role.
Okay.
Ready? Okay, please repeat after me. I, Clarence C. Crawford.
I, Clarence C. Crawford.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of Maryland.
That I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of Maryland.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And that I will, to the best of my skill and judgment.
And I will, to the best of my skill and judgment.
Diligently and faithfully, without partiality or prejudice.
Diligently and faithfully, without partiality or prejudice.
Execute the office of Principal Director.
Execute the office of Principal Director.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? That's very interesting. Okay, now that Clarence has been sworn in, we need to vote on his committee assignments. He will fill positions previously held by Ms. Harley, who will not be voting on this matter. Therefore, I move that Clarence be appointed to the number one executive committee as first vice chair and safety and service delivery committee as the vice chair. I'd like to move at this time. Can I get a second? Any discussion? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Corbett,
aye.
Kathy, all right. Opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Okay, we look. The motion passes, and we look forward to working with you on the board. So that's it for that. Now we move on the agenda to reports from the various jurisdictions. From the District of Columbia, I have no report. From WSTC, well, we have down Ms. Harley, but I guess, yeah, go ahead, whatever.
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations again to Maryland for signing our dedicated legislation yesterday. It was a momentous step for us in the process of finally getting funding for Metro, and look forward to see how we're going to spend all that money.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. NBTC, Mr. Corcoran?
No report.
And the federal government, Mr. McMillan?
No report.
Okay. There's no other business to come before the board. We have to read that thing.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. Okay. This is a request for executive session. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection H, development of WMATA position or strategy on pending or proposed state or federal legislation. So I'd like to move at this time. Is there a second? Second. Somebody second.
Second.
Yeah. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. And we'll see everybody upstairs. And with that, the board meeting is adjourned.